give it a restart?
Mm-mm.
Can you save this moment?
Okay, so welcome to the September 4th, 2018 regular meeting of the trustees of the San Luis Coastal Unified School District. The board did meet in closed session to review a reinstatement of an expelled student, and then we had one case of anticipated litigation. Do we have a consensus on the order of business?
Yes.
We do, Mr. President. Yes. Are we going to do a notification of participation via...
And one of our board members did participate by teleconference during closed session. That would be Mr. Millar. And I'm Dr. Prater. Mr. Millar is not participating in an open session. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Very good. All right. So we have a consensus on the order of business. That's 4.02. 4.03, this is action on reinstatement of an expelled student. We're now going to have a roll call vote on student disciplinary matter 3.01, reviewed in closed session. Would someone like to make a motion?
I will so move that we accept the student personnel action.
And would you state, please, Mrs. Sheffer, what that would be? I believe that we had discussed a denial of the request for reinstatement.
Correct.
Okay.
I will second.
So we have a motion by Mrs. Sheffer and a second by Mr. Quisenberry. Mrs. Campbell, this is a roll call vote.
Mrs. Sheffer?
Yes.
Mr. Quisenberry?
Yes.
Dr. Eisendrath Rogers?
Yes.
Mrs. Roger?
Yes.
Mr. Unger?
Yes.
Mr. Buckman?
Yes.
Motion passes 6-0 with one absent.
Okay. All right, let's move on to item 4.04, approval of minutes for 8/16/2018. Would someone like to make a motion on that?
I'll move approval of the minutes from 8/16.
And I'll second.
Motion by Mr. Quisenberry, second by Mrs. Roger. I will be abstaining from this since I did not attend that meeting. Any further comments from board members? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? That would be me. Move on to item 4.05, approval of minutes for 8/21. Would someone like to make a motion on that? Mr. Buckman? Okay.
Sorry.
I'll second.
Oh, I see.
Sorry. We have a motion by Mr. Buckman and a second by Mrs. Sheffer. Any comments? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? One abstention. That would be me. Let's go to item 5.01. And we have our two student representatives, and I believe, Annalise, you're up, right? I just blew it, didn't I? Prachi, I think you're up.
It's
how quickly we forget, right?
Okay. So these few weeks have been really busy since we last met. Last week, we actually had a band come on to campus, and they're from Arizona, which was really cool to see them play and perform for us. And along with that, we had food from off campus, which is always a nice treat for the students, just to like, especially for the freshmen who don't get to go off. So it was a nice day. We got to sit on our lower quad and just watch a band perform, and it was a lot of fun. So along with that, this past Friday we had our new student luncheon, and we invited all of our foreign exchange students and all of our other new student transfers that didn't get to come to Lane Crew or couldn't make it, and we just played games with them and just really got to know each other. So it was a really good time too. And this week is a really busy week for us too. We have our first rally this Friday, and we're super excited because we have our first Girl Spirit Commissioner, and we've never had one, so like girl power. So we're really excited, and we have a really big game against Templeton for volleyball, and we're doing super well in our sports. So like football, if you guys don't know, is on a 2-win streak, which is really big for us if you guys know our past football experiences. So Yeah, and then this Friday is our bye week for football, so we have our Powder Puff game, and we've decided to give 25% of all donations, all donations to Jack's Helping Hand. So we're really excited to just be a part of that community in that way, and it's going to be a really fun night, so we're super excited.
Okay, Annalise.
Okay, so last Thursday at Morro Bay, we had back to school night, and so that was a time when parents could come and actually walk through their child's schedule and see what their child is doing every day and get to talk to teachers and just really learn like what their child is experiencing every day. So that's always a great night on campus. And then in terms of sports news, this past Saturday, our varsity boys water polo beat Atascadero for the first time ever, so that was really exciting. We're starting this new thing every Monday where an announcement goes over the loudspeaker that talks about our Mission Monday. So each Monday we have a different mission or goal. For example, one of the past Mondays, the mission was to introduce yourself to someone new and just try to make a new friend. We've also been holding lunchtime activities and games on Fridays in order to try to incorporate the new freshmen in more activities because they're not allowed to leave campus during lunch. So they're still on campus, and then it's a fun way for them to have something to do. This upcoming Friday, we have a home game versus Gustine. They're traveling from about 3 hours away. And so that's really exciting because we had a lot of school spirit and a lot of kids show up at our last home game, so we're looking forward to that. Right now, ASB is really busy preparing for a couple of things. We're preparing for Club Rush, which is coming up on September 14th, and that's where we have all of the campus clubs set up booths in the quad, and kids can walk around during lunchtime and look at the clubs and figure out if they find one that has an interest that they'd like to join or just make new friends, and so that's always a fun event. We're also getting ready for our Powder Puff game that's going to take place on Wednesday, September 19th during our bye week, and ASB is also starting preparations for homecoming, which will be in the beginning of October. So yeah, it's been a busy first couple of weeks, but it's been really fun. Thank you.
Great. Now, I know you'll hear me say this each time. You are absolutely welcome to stay and participate in the discussions the board has on any item on the agenda. You can also take advisory vote. You can also give us an advisory vote as well. However, we will also understand if you choose to leave. We know that you've got work and homework and things like that. But do know that you're welcome to be here and participate.
Chris, I have a
yes, Mr. Buckman?
Quick question. So in the brand new, really cool swimming pool, was that the boys' volleyball first win and possibly water polo, I'm sorry. First win, and is that possibly the first win in that pool?
Oh, no. It was the first time we've won against Atascadero High School.
But was it a home?
Yes, it was a home game.
Okay, cool.
Right. And it's interesting, and I'm not sure about the pool, but I was driving back from Cambria last night, and the lights were on at like 9 o'clock, so I know the pool is getting used heavily, and it's pretty exciting to see that. So.
Yeah, it's used all during the day. We have different teams come in. You'll see them during lunch. Early in the morning, we have a thing where teachers can come in before school and work out. So there's people in the pool literally all day using it. So.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting out there. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Next, we have item 5.02, Morro Bay and San Luis Obispo High School FFA Summer Highlights and Accolades.
Mr. Unger, I'd be happy to introduce those for you.
That would be great. And it also looks to me like we have Mrs. Washmuth here from FHA Hero. Is that correct?
We do. We have FCCLA as well as robotics, computer science, as well as AP Spanish to celebrate because we have some AP data today. So that's great to see some faces matched with the data you'll see. So we had a lot of fantastic things to celebrate over the summer. So this is just some of those. If we could start with Morro Bay FFA, Peggy Flynn can start there with her students. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for having us today. We're the Morro Bay FFA officer team, and we'd like to tell you all a little bit about our program and what we accomplished this summer. My name's Haley Revley, and I'm the president of the Morro Bay FFA chapter. I'm a senior this year, and next year I'd like to attend Cal Poly and major in animal science.
Hi, my name is Tanner Doherty. I'm a senior as well. I'm the vice president for this year, and I hope to attend Cuesta and Cal Poly for ag mechanics.
My name's Rihanna Hickson. I'm a junior this year. I'm the secretary, and I hope to attend the University of Florida in order to study wildlife biology.
Hi, my name is Jacob. I'm a sophomore at Morro Bay High School. I'm the treasurer, and I hope to major in agriculture at Cal Poly.
Hi, I'm Marilyn Bonham. I'm a junior. I'm this year's reporter, and I hope to study veterinary medicine at Chico State.
Hi, my name is Rebecca Jewitz. I'm a sophomore at Morro Bay High School. I'm the chapter sentinel, and I plan to study at Nebraska State University and major in animal science. So this past June, our officer team had the opportunity to travel to Yosemite for our officer retreat. While in Yosemite, we planned our upcoming year, participated in leadership workshops, went horseback riding, and hiked around the valley floor. Being able to travel and learn with our team was a great bonding experience and inspired us for the upcoming year.
In July, we brought back the school fair on the FFA farm, in which all of our livestock exhibitors participated in getting some real-life experience showing their animals to a guest judge. We had a lot of participation from parents, students, and the community as well. Our school fair helped prepare our exhibitors for success at the California Mid-State Fair.
This year at the California Mid-State Fair, we had a total of 19 livestock exhibitors and 21 animals. We placed fairly high across the board. Haley Revely took first place in her class with a market hog, and Frankie Miller won reserve champion white-faced crossbred market lamb. We doubled our participation this year and hope to increase it even more this next summer.
A week before school started, we held a leadership kickoff day for our ag leadership and speech communication classes. At the leadership retreat, the officers held three workshops, which included opportunities in ag, responsibilities with being in the FFA, and what it means to be a leader. The day also included games for people to get to know each other and prepare for the upcoming year. This was our first leadership kickoff day for quite some time, and we were very pleased with how it went.
So overall, the FFA is a sense of pride for our members. It's a place for them to experience hands-on learning that they wouldn't get in other classes. It provides a fun motivation for kids to come to school every day, unlike other classes that you would see. It's a place that people belong and opens members' eyes to multiple great possibilities throughout ag. The FFA has given us a second family and is not only a subject in school, but it has become a way of life for all of us standing up here today.
We would now like to present to you a slideshow of our summer accomplishments. Thank you again for the opportunity to come speak to you tonight. We always appreciate the support the school board and administration gives us. Thank you.
Just Just let it go.
Yeah. Just play the slides. We're good.
Memories should stay. They gather around her. A miner's lady is stranger to one's wild rose. Dark and dusty, yet I made it on the sky. Here's the taste of sunshine. She comes to my eyes. Don't you know?
Thank you.
Can I ask a quick question? So, do you have an update on when the new ag facility is going to be? Anybody?
Here's our advisor, Ms. Flynn.
Hi, Ms. Flynn.
Thank you. We are currently working. I'm working with Liz Moore to resubmit the application for the grant. Hopefully, I think by the end of the month. So we're working on it this week and or next week, I should say, and then. Fingers crossed we get it. Thank you for asking.
And I just want to say I've been able to attend the spring dinner that you guys have. I wasn't able to go this year, but I've been there in the past, and I'm just really impressed with the work that you guys do and the strong commitment to agriculture that you have in Morro Bay. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Great. Next, I would love to introduce Alyssa and Lauren from Slow Highs FFA. We'd love to hear from you.
Hi, my name's Alyssa Garnsey.
I'm Lauren Erickson, and we're speaking on the behalf of San Luis Obispo FFA. So this summer, we had about 83 students raise animals for the California Mid-State Fair. And for the first time in a long time, we had kids take poultry to the fair, and Bella Martin actually brought home the best of show chicken. So she won the whole fair with her chicken. And then John Martinick had the grand champion market hen turkey this year. And then we had about 16 beef exhibitors, multiple class winners, and Thomas Phelan was the champion beef showman, and Jacob Grant was reserve champion. And then Kevin Jess and Alyssa Garnsey also won the Cattleman's Award for cows.
We had many exhibitors in our sheep barn. Ty Evans won reserve champion Suffolk, as well as Stella Bowler was reserve natural. Many of our students made it to the final drive in showmanship, and for the first time since I think ever, we had three goats this year, and that was a great experience for all of us. And we had two of our exhibitors make it to final drive. Lastly, in the swine barn, they took home the reserve champion chapter title and had Amanda Ardance win her breed, and Genevieve Gilham was reserve. Thank you for taking the time to listen to us, and we enjoyed coming to speak.
Comments from board members? Mrs. Sheffer?
When my daughter was at San Luis Obispo High School, she had the best in show chicken. I just thought I'd throw that out there. It was, we were all so proud. But it was it was great to participate.
Yeah. It's very nice.
I just want to add, I think it's great that you have such strong participation in FFA at San Luis Obispo High School. I bet there are people who think we don't have strong ag programs here on the Central Coast, and they think about San Luis Obispo High School, and they probably don't think ag. But when you get, you know, you show an 83 animals up at the Mid-State Fair and take an awards, I think that's really impressive. So thanks very much, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to introduce Jan Fetcho with computer science, IT, robotics, and come on up, Ms. Fetcho, and talk to us about your summer highlights.
I just want to make sure that you get it.
I got to remember too. We got to make sure that we want everybody to see the great stuff you're doing because we do record this and put it on TV. So.
Okay, so we recently competed at the Skills USA National Competition in Kentucky in the middle of the summer. And Skills USA is a multidisciplined competition ranging from nail care to computer programming. So there's all sorts of things we compete in. So our journey started at Skills USA Regionals, where we took around 40 students to the regional competition in Paso Robles.
And that was 40 students from Slo High, and there are about 100 different competitions, so we did mobile robotics, and that's the robot you can see down there that we built. So to regionals, we already had a robot priorly built, so we brought it, competed there, and to make it to state, we won regionals, and then to make it to nationals, we won state. And at nationals, we had to build our own robot, so we didn't take this there. They gave us a kit, they gave us 6 hours, and we just had to build it and then compete with it the next day.
In addition, we weren't the only people that went to nationals. The winners of state, including us, were Daniel Kanani in computer programming, James Price in technical drafting, and Gandon Schaffner in related technical math.
Yeah.
So we all competed at Skills USA Nationals. Ours was a six-hour build competition, and then we drove it. We ended up winning first and got the gold.
Oh, that I have here.
At Skills USA Nationals.
We weren't the only ones that placed. Gandon got third. In his competition, and Danny also got third, so yeah. That was pretty cool.
So our winning margin out of 1,000 points was around 150 points at the national competition. So.
And it wasn't just building the robot and designing. It was also, there was a coding problem, a math problem, there was a presentation.
It was really, the competition was based around a real-world STEM problem, which was clearing a highway as fast as possible to allow traffic to continue if some sort of accident or something happens, and our robot was designed to clear cones and remove obstacles, and we were able to do it the quickest. So, so in addition to Skills USA, we, Tanvi and I, and one more member, Bryce North Wilson, we competed in the regular VEX Robotics National and World Championships in Iowa and Kentucky, same spot as Skills USA, and we had a really great experience there, and we learned a lot throughout those competitions that we can use in our career and in future robotics tournaments.
Yeah, and we just wanted to thank you guys for giving us these opportunities to go there, because robotics isn't as well known around school as some other clubs, but just that you guys are letting us go there really means a lot. And we've learned a lot about real world solving problems, like being under stress, because we have up to 10 matches a day for robotics, and that's a lot of stress, and we had problems at World, so just learning how to get through all of that. And
in addition, we're sorry we couldn't bring up any other people. Daniel Kanani is at Yale right now, Gandon Schaffner is at a creative school in Santa Barbara, and James is attending Cuesta as well, so all freshmen in college.
We just brought it to show you what
we
built.
We have a regular robotics tournament this weekend. We're building a new challenge comes out every year, and the new challenge was announced at Worlds last year. So our new robot, we're getting it all ready for the competition this weekend.
Yeah, so I don't know if anyone remembers, but I was here with Bryce and Elsie, Jacob Elsie, and that other robot was our VEX robot, so now we're building another one that's like the same height, big,
Thank you for your time, and we hope you support us in the future.
Great, thank you. Any board member comments? Mrs. Sheffer.
I just wanted to also acknowledge Mrs. Fecho, who none of this would be possible without her devotion and guidance to the club and the students and all that you do. We really appreciate all your efforts. It's wonderful. Thank you.
And congratulations on behalf of the school board. First of all, just getting to the Nationals is an accomplishment, but getting the Nationals and winning gold, I don't know. You guys just, you're smoking it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, I would like to introduce Lisa Washmuth and FCCLA.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for having us tonight. We're here from the San Luis Obispo chapter of FCCLA. I'm Kavailani. I'm the president of our chapter. And we just like to say that for the past 10 years, we've been part of the Bay Area's region, and so we'd have to travel really far every time we need to go to conferences or competitions. But thanks to Ms. Washmuth's hard work, hopefully next year we'll be able to reinstate our own region here on the Central Coast. Yes, that's something exciting we wanted to share. But early last school year, I was able to compete in child development, where I basically presented a preschool lesson to a panel of judges and explained how it would help the children and stuff. And I won first place in region and in state. I also was received the Golden State degree, and I'm hoping this year I can get the next level.
Hi, I'm Aaliyah Biles. I'm the vice president of SLO FCCLA. So last year at state, I didn't compete because I was really new to the club. I went as a voting delegate, and I got to participate in a bunch of meetings, and I got to vote on all the new state officers and all the bylaws, stuff like that, which meant I got to meet a lot of new people. So this year, I'm preparing to compete in what I competed in last year, child development, which I'm pretty excited about because I want to be a teacher, so hopefully that'll help.
Hi, my name is Sean Carlson. I am the chapter reporter here at SLO High for FCCLA, and last year I went last year, both at region, at state, and nationals, I competed in fashion design. So at region, I won second. At state, I won first, receiving a scholarship to FITM in LA. And at nationals, I had placed second in the nation out of 88 competitors from 44 states. And since I'm a senior here at SLOI this year, after I graduate, I plan on attending Central St. Martin's in London to take on a bachelor's degree in luxury brand management.
Okay, questions, any comments or questions from board members? Well, first of all, again, on behalf of the board, congratulations to all of you. I see Mrs. Sheffers got her light on. For the two of you who are interested in early childhood, we know that teaching is so important, and becoming teachers is just critical. It's critical to this, to the future of our nation. And the fact that you two want to become teachers, especially if you're interested in early childhood. You know, we have started preschools here for our students in need, and we think that it's something that is absolutely imperative for kids to be able to have high-quality preschool. So if that's what you're interested in, I say go for it. And then I have to admit to you that I am a sucker for Project Runway. And is that what you designed?
Yes.
That is beautiful. can you just tell us a little bit about it, because it's really gorgeous?
So essentially, to compete, what you have to do is you have to create a whole brand. You have to create a four-piece collection, and out of that collection, you have to choose one full design from that collection to create. So this is the one that I created. And basically, the brand that I created was, its main theme was female empowerment. And what it did was it took inspiration from both Southeast Asian clothing and fused it with Western influences to create essentially a brand fit for today's queen. And the brand's name was Maharani, which means queen in Indian. I'm half Indian, so that's where the inspiration originated from.
Great. It's stunning. Thank you very much, Mrs. Sheffer.
So I would like to know what FCCLA stands for.
Family, Career, and Community Leaders of America.
Thank you very much.
And then also, really quickly, I just wanted to mention we had a few other people who competed at state and region. We had a girl, Sarah Kramer. She competed in culinary arts. She did cake or wedding cake design, and she got second in the state. We still have the cake on display in the classroom. And then Carolyn Chu competed in fashion design also, and she got second in the state. She graduated already. And we had other competitors in other fields, but yeah, we did pretty good.
Thank you very, very much.
Yes. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. So what he presented to us was his portfolio and what he took to nationals, and so we'll be looking at this, and we'll make sure that it gets returned to you.
Okay. And for our final presentation, we have Nelly Caminata that is here with students to celebrate some fantastic accomplishments in AP.
Yeah. So, hello, my name is Nelly Caminata. I teach Spanish at Slo High since 2005 and serve as a world language chair. Here with me are some of our Pacheco students. Some of them graduated already, and they are here tonight to say their names. Lulu?
Hi, my name is Lulu Dai.
Hi, my name is Lulu Dai.
Hello, my name is Aaron O'Neill.
I'm Max Billing.
I'm Chloe Carlson.
Hi, I'm Jake Browning.
I'm Laura Elliott.
Our AP Spanish program has been extremely successful, as evident by increased enrollment and remarkable test scores. In May 2010, 20 students took the exam. Last May, 47 out of 56 students enrolled in the AP Spanish took the exam. Based on the College Board score reports, since 2010, close to 400 students have taken the exam with 93% passing rate. Earning highest recognition with scores of 4 and 5 are 85% of our students. Furthermore, whereas juniors and seniors typically enroll in AP courses, the majority of our AP Spanish students are sophomores, many of whom will never enroll in another AP exam or AP program or AP course. Without a doubt, Pacheco's dual immersion program has contributed to the success of our AP Spanish program at Slo High. Likewise, our school and district administration has been very supportive in purchasing materials for us and supporting professional growth initiatives. Thank you, members of the school board, for your continued support of bilingualism and biliteracy. Your vision and investment in our program will help the students succeed in school, in work, and in life. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And? Is there any comments from board members? Well, just again, a congratulations on behalf of the board. And I've always wished I could speak another language besides English. I've wished that I could go to bed one night and wake up being as fluent in Spanish as you guys are, and I know that's not possible. And I think we really need to recognize your hard work. You guys have a tremendous gift, and I applaud you for your hard work and your accomplishments.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, well deserved.
Yes.
Thank you.
Item 6.01 is correspondence, and the board did not receive any correspondence. So we'll move on to public comment, and I'm just going to review about public comment. So anybody wishing to speak before the board, either as an individual or as a representative of a group, will have time to do that right now. Please stand and be recognized. Give your name and the group, if any, that you're represented. The presentation should be brief. We ask that each total presentation be limited to 3 minutes. Materials related to the presentation topic may be distributed, and speakers may use the document camera to display materials. Distribution of display materials may not extend past the allotted time. Members of the public may not use district electronic devices or cameras other than the document camera. Questions asked by the public shall, when possible, be answered by myself or referred to staff members present for a reply, and questions requiring investigation shall be referred to the board or administrative staff for study and response at a future meeting. The board won't take action on an item introduced during public comment, as this would constitute an illegal act on the part of the board, and a speaker may offer criticism of school operations and programs that concern them, but in public session, the board will not hear personnel complaints or school personnel or complaints against any employee of the system. Other channels provide for board consideration and disposition of complaints involving individuals. I see we have Mrs. Neuhauser.
We do.
Go ahead, Mrs.
Hello.
Neuhauser, your 3 minutes.
Great. My name is Judy Neuhauser from Los Osos. I'm here because what I'm realizing is that to wait to talk about budget issues until the budget comes out, a lot of the background discussions have already happened. So this is a budgetary issue. When the district decided to front load the Title I program so that all students within the district who are low income qualify for Title I money, that money is then put into the elementary programs only as a front loading, and I understand that. But when the district decided to move sixth grade on the coast, Morro Bay, Los Osos students who are sixth grade are no longer served in the way that San Luis sixth grade students are served by those Title I monies. And I'd like you to take a really hard look at that, because those both Morro Bay and Los Osos have qualified in the past in terms of numbers of low-income students for being Title I schools, but they're not receiving it because they're the upper schools. But to take the sixth grade students out of that and not give them services that sixth grade students in San Luis are getting through Title I, I think is a problem. So I'd like to see that addressed when you come to the budget. Thank you.
Thank you. And Dr. Prater or Mrs. McGrath, when you have an opportunity, perhaps you could explain to the board the supports that our 6th grade, 7th grade, and 8th grade students get at Los Osos Middle School. Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who would like to address the public or the board at this time? Seeing no one, let's move to item 7.01, business and budget update. Mr. Pinkerton.
Yeah, we have a big agenda tonight, so I'm going to be pretty quick on both my updates. Basically, budget-wise, the fiscal department is just really focused on unaudited actuals right now, which will be coming to the board at our next meeting. So it's kind of been the main focus of our energies at this time.
Mrs. McGrath.
Thank you. As I know you all know, we have had some fantastic back-to-school nights this past week. A lot of our schools opened up their schools and had the opportunity to invite families in and meet with teachers and for teachers and families to see student schedules and get to know their school and their teachers. So that's been a great welcome this week. There are also additional back-to-school nights this week. So it's a great opportunity. We want to encourage families to participate in that. I wanted to give you a quick update on the Senate bill. So Senate Bill 1090 is now in front of the governor, and we do encourage letter writing if people want to show their support for that. That Senate bill obviously is a huge benefit to our school district, which allows some bridge funding while the closure of Diablo will have a budgetary impact on our school district. But it's also an incredible support to our entire community and regional area. So we are crossing our fingers and hoping that that passes and goes through. But it is a good time to voice your support to the governor if you so feel inclined. Those are my updates for today. Thank you.
Great. And I think we should publicly thank how many, I believe it was 26 community groups who wrote a letter, an open letter to the governor supporting supporting his signature on SB 1090. Is that not correct?
That is correct. Great point.
Thank you. 7.03 Measure D update.
See, we actually have a lot of Measure D items I'm going to be discussing with the board tonight. Some correspond with the study session we had recently. Two other things that have come up, and if you go to the Slow High back to school night, you'll notice how difficult it is to get to the middle of campus. You know, one of the beautiful things that's happening is these nice construction projects. A lot of construction is now hitting campus. And then the bad news is there's a lot of construction on campus right now, so it's kind of working it out, figuring out how to do it. Of course, the kids are fantastic. I mean, no matter if we change the path, do things, kids just adapt. They, you know, they roll with the punches as we go through, and I'm excited about some of the new changes and things that are happening. But we are beginning the pool project at Slo High right now, so that just along with the front office and Performing Arts Center space, it's going to be a little rough to get on and off. But we are we've made some accommodations, have some disabled parking over by the new old gym. We're going to have to come up with new names for parents that need to come on and get to the gym area, those types of things. So we are making those accommodations. We're going to have those maps available both tomorrow night as well as on the website for people. Chris Bonner, I want to give him accolades a little bit today. You know, we and we're going to talk about one of the items that has a J-Wing, has some changes that we made based on the site's desire to kind of model the Engineering Academy in Santa Barbara and that program and what happens there. And so Chris has been instrumental in really working with the new teacher, Brady Halverson, there, kind of on what's going to be in that program, what equipment we use and are going to need, and how that's going to work, and how it's all going to kind of tie together. So he spent a lot of time over the past few months kind of ironing that all out and ensuring that we order what we need, and because it's going to be very hands-on, very you know, kind of career-oriented as well as having that academic tie-in. So it's going to be a really good program at the site. So, again, kudos to Chris for helping with that.
Great. Item 8.01, this would be resolution number 5-18-19, Measure D, San Luis Obispo High School Old Gym Modernization, termination of leases with Acme Construction. Mr. Pinkerton.
Yeah, I almost want to open the shades right now so that the board could see that beautiful, you know, the old gym turned out fantastic. The fact that we were able to modernize that building and kind of keep that old style and lure to it. When you get a chance, they put the new flooring in, the new weights in. We're really looking forward to kind of the right-hand side, turning that into the band room space. So that's coming. The project itself turned out really, really nice, so very excited about it. So there's three things on the board agenda tonight. The first one, again, just like last time, in terms of this was a lease-leaseback contract that we're now terminating. We're taking the property back, ending the lease. So there's the resolution. There's the actual adoption of the action, and then there's the notice of completion later on. So this is the first step in that process that we reviewed with the board during our Measure D study session recently, and how these three steps basically in the lease, and we take back the property itself.
Any board questions for Mr. Pinkerton right now? Any public comment? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board. This is a resolution, so I would appreciate a...
Well, I just want to make a comment because Walter's so good about doing this and he's not here. So Ryan alluded to it, but there may be not a lot of discussion on these topics, but the board monthly has a Measure D study session, and these were all discussed at that session and fairly much in depth. So it was a long session. So I just want to make sure everybody understands that's why the discussion is a little limited tonight.
Okay. Would you like to make a motion, Mr. Buckman, or...
Yes, I'd like to move resolution 05-18-19, agreement for the termination of leases and a quick claim deed for the San Luis High School Old Gym Modernization Leaseback Project.
Somebody like to second that?
I'll second.
Seconded by Mrs. Roger. Any further board discussion? Seeing none, I'll bring it back. Ms. Campbell?
Mr. Quesenberry?
Aye.
Mrs. Roger?
Aye.
Mr. Buckman?
Aye.
Mrs. Sheffer? Dr. Eisendrath Rogers?
Aye.
Mr. Unger?
Yes.
Resolution passes 6-0.
Item 8.02, GAN limit calculations for 2017-18 and estimated calculations for 2018-19. Mr. Pinkerton.
This is the infamous annual, what does this mean? The GAN limit, Proposition 4 was passed in 1979. Basically, it was a taxpayer group that didn't want the state to overspend. So they set an appropriations limit, so the amount that the state could spend each year, and that ties into local government appropriations as well.
So there's an amount every year that grows based on COLA, and every year, every school district in the state itself has to do this form, this calculation, to make sure that they don't pass or spend more than what that appropriation limit is. Because if they do, they actually have to give that money back to the taxpayers. So that's what this GAN limit is about. Now, in so much as for school districts ourselves, it doesn't affect us really, because even if we were over our appropriation limit, the Board of Education could pass a resolution to allow that to happen. And what happens is it then would count against the state's appropriation. So the state has that ability as well. So it's something we have to do every year. We put the calculation together. We don't meet the appropriation limit. I don't think we will meet it anytime soon, based on the fact that it continues to grow each year, along with our own taxes and local income. So that said, that's the GAN resolution in a nutshell for the board. If you have any questions, I can answer them. Otherwise, I would ask the board to approve this resolution.
Is there anybody from the public that would like to address the board on this item? Seeing no one, I'll bring it back to the board. Would someone like to make a motion? I'll move item 8.02, GAN limit calculations for 2017-18 and estimated calculations for 2018-19.
I'll second that.
So there's a motion by me and a second by Mr. Quisenberry. Is there any further board discussion? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to Mrs. Campbell.
Mr. Unger?
Yes.
Mr. Quisenberry?
Yes.
Mr. Buckman?
Yes.
Dr. Eisendrath Rogers? Mrs. Roger?
Yes.
Mrs. Sheffer? Okay, resolution passes 6-0.
Okay, item 9.01, approval of revised annual declaration of need for fully qualified educators. Mrs. Newland.
Thank you. These next five items all deal with credentialing. So this is a document, the annual declaration of need that you saw in June. And we have revised this because we need more single subject limited assignment permits than what we estimated back in June. Because over the summer we've had to, particularly in the area of science, we have had to have people who have minors in certain areas like chemistry, health, and physics to teach in an area that they might not have a second credential in, but they're very well qualified to teach in those areas. And so we are increasing the single subject limited assignment permits from 5 that we had estimated in June to 10. This will also help us take into consideration like maternity leaves, because the law has increased the amount of time for maternity and paternity leaves, so therefore we need people that have multiple credential areas.
Any questions from the board? Any comments from the public? Seeing none, I believe this is an action item. So I'll we need a motion and a second.
I'll move approval of item 9.01.
We have a motion by Mrs. Roger and a second by Mrs. Sheffer. Any further discussion? All in favor? Aye. Motion carries 6-0. Item 9.02, approval of intent to apply for bilingual authorization Spanish waiver. Back to you, Mrs. Newman.
Yes. So this is a waiver that we would like to submit under the Ed Code to the commission, because we have a kindergarten teacher at Pacheco, Jennifer Sandals, who's working towards her bilingual authorization in Spanish. She needs additional time to complete those requirements, but she's been successfully teaching in our district for 12 years. And both Rick Mayfield, Director of Learning Achievement, and Chris Jones, the current principal, are requesting her to continue in this assignment.
Okay. Is there anybody from the public that would like to comment on this? Seeing no one, I'll bring it back to the board. Someone like to make a motion?
I move for approval of the intent to apply for bilingual authorization waiver, 9.02.
We have a motion by Mr. Quisenberry, second by Mrs. Sheffer. Any further board discussion? Seeing none, I'll bring it back. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 6-0. 9.03, approval of intent to apply for AP adapted physical education waiver.
So we were very lucky to find an APE teacher. Adaptive PE is hard, very difficult to find. We found a qualified applicant or somebody that we hired from Texas with her APE credential. But unfortunately, APE credentials are not transferable from state to state. So she is going to be working on her completing the requirements through California Adaptive PE. And this is supported by our Student Services Department, and we've notified SELPA of our intent to apply for this waiver.
Great. Well, my only comment on that is that really stinks. Is there anybody from the public that would like to address the board? Seeing no one. Someone like to make a motion for 9.03?
Yeah, I'll move the approval of the intent to apply for an adaptive physical education waiver.
And I'll second.
We have a motion by Mr. Quisenberry, a second by Mrs. Roger. Further board comment? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 6-0. 9.04, approval of intent to apply for SADAI waiver.
So our CTE credentials do not have the English learner authorizations embedded that other teachers, before, quite a long time ago, teachers didn't have the EL authorizations embedded in their credentials, and they had to go get SADAI training, which is some specific academic instruction. But now our new credentials all have the CLAD and the EL authorizations embedded within their credential, except for the CTE credentials. So we hired at San Luis Obispo High School, our culinary arts teacher, Ben Richardson, has a preliminary CTE credential and is enrolled in a program to clear his credential, but he does not have SADAI, so we would like to submit the waiver on his behalf.
Yeah, Mr.
So SADAI will be part of his training when he gets his full CTE credential?
Yes, once cleared, the credential is going to provide authorization to provide that, okay. But he has to clear that credential first.
I would like to move approval of the intent to apply for a SADAI waiver.
And let me go to the public first. I'm not seeing anybody from the public. So we have a motion by Mr. Quisenberry. Would someone like to?
I'll second.
A second by Mrs. Sheffer. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 6-0. 9.05, approval of intent to apply for library media teacher services waiver.
So we have done an extensive search for a librarian to replace Sharon Haupt, and the district has selected Michelle Hedrick. She has a CTE credential in Education, Child Development, and Family Services, and a master's degree in Library and Informational Science. And she's been a library media technician with our district since 2011, and so she's well prepared to take this on. With a library services credential, you have to have an underlying credential and then get an additional credential to do library services. It's very similar to an administrative credential where you have to have a teaching credential as an underlying credential. So she has that underlying CTE credential, and we're applying for a waiver for the library's media services credential.
Anybody from the public like to address us? Seeing no one. I would like to I just want to say that we will miss Sharon Help tremendously. She was really a guiding light and beacon mm-hmm. for literacy. But I will say I've known Michelle Hedrick for a number of years. First of all, as librarian at Del Mar, and secondly, as librarian at Hawthorne. She's great, and she will be a great choice to replace Sharon. And I just want to offer my congratulations at this time to Michelle, and I really am excited about this opportunity for her in our district.
She's very excited, and the library technicians are also very excited.
Dr. Eisenbrath Rogers?
Yes, and I totally agree, and I will also move forward 9.05, approval of intent to apply for library media teacher services waiver.
So we have a motion by Dr. Eisenbrath Rogers, and I'll go ahead and second that. Is there any further board discussion? I'm sorry, Mark. Did you want to second that? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 6-0.
Thank you.
Item 9.06, advanced placement data. And I believe that is Mr. Mayfield and Mrs. O'Hagan, my basketball
buddy. And Mrs. McGrath will join us as well. Thank you.
Tonight we're presenting advanced placement data. Advanced placement, or AP, is a program created by the College Board which offers college-level curricula and examinations to high school students. Colleges and universities may grant placement and course credit to students who obtain high scores on the examinations. The AP curriculum for each of the various subjects is created by the for the College Board by a panel of experts. You'll be happy to see that both comprehensive high schools showed a strong increase in student enrollment overall, and both schools showed a great increase in the enrollment of socioeconomically disadvantaged students. Mrs. O'Hagan will present the data, and Mrs. McGrath will follow up with some conclusions, and we're all happy to answer any questions you might have.
Okay. And is this, let me get this on here. Is it plugged in? Okay. It looks like it's, I'll turn it on and off again. Oh, there we go. Wrong button. Okay. Yes, as Rick said, tonight you will see enrollment information, the number and percentage of students that enroll in an AP course during their 10th through 12th grade years, the percentage that take the AP exam, and passing rates across a three-year span. We will show these for both comprehensive high schools, and information will be presented for our consistent student groups. And so the first school we'll look at is Morro Bay. Okay. So Morro Bay offers 17 advanced placement courses. Depending on student interest and enrollment, courses are determined each year. This past year, Morro Bay offered 12 AP courses. Courses are available in English, math, science, social science, and even electives like computer science and art. Okay, so this chart shows the enrollment numbers within our student groups. The numbers in parentheses next to the student group, I think I've got a little, there we go, right there. The numbers in the parentheses indicate the total number of students within that subgroup in grades 10 through 12. The numbers in the blue bars are the percentage of those student groups that were enrolled in an AP course. Looking at the top bar, we see that there were a total of 645 students in grades 10 through 12, and 32% of those students took an AP course. Continuing on, notice that 31% of non-SED students were enrolled in an AP course, while 33% of SED students were enrolled. This is fantastic to see that we actually have a higher percentage of SED students enrolled in an AP course. 12% of the EL students were enrolled in an AP course. However, as a student is in the beginning stages of learning English, we wouldn't expect a high enrollment rate. Typically, AP Spanish or an elective area could be a good entry point for an English language learner. 21% of our RFET group, which is reclassified as fluent English proficient, were enrolled in an AP course. And finally, 12% of students with disabilities were enrolled in an AP course. So this graph shows the enrollment percentages reflected in the previous slide in the blue bars, with an additional 1 or 2 years of data to compare across our student groups. We've been measuring non-SED, EL, and students with disabilities for 2 years, so that is why we don't have the three bars available for those particular groups. Over a three-year time span, Morro Bay High School has seen a 9 percentage point increase in student enrollment, and our SED has shown remarkable growth as well over this time. EL student growth shows 12%, but keep in mind that is only about 4 students. While RFEP has fluctuated, that group over time has shown a slight decrease of 1 percentage point in AP enrollments. Our students with disabilities are moving in the right direction with a small growth of 3 percentage points. Okay. Now this graph shows that over the past 3 years, Morro Bay High School has drastically increased their enrollment in AP courses by almost 100 extra students. So that's the first cluster of bars. Over 70% of students on average are also electing to take the AP test over here, and around half of those students are passing the test, which they can potentially use for college credit. So now I'm going to take you through the same process with San Luis Obispo High School. So SLO High School offers a total of 18 advanced placement courses. And this past year, they offered 15 AP courses. And like I mentioned earlier, course offerings are dependent on student interest and enrollment. And the courses are available in English. There's courses available in math, science, social science, and electives like computer science and art. This chart shows the enrollment numbers within our student groups for this past year, 2017-18. As a reminder, the numbers in parentheses next to the student group indicate the total number of students within that subgroup in grades 10 through 12. The numbers in the blue bars are the percentage of those student groups that were enrolled in an AP course. So starting at the top, we see that there were a total of 1,157 students in grades 10 through 12, and 47% of those students took an AP course. Continuing on, half of non-SED students were enrolled in an AP course, while 35% of our SED students were enrolled. We can see that looking at EL, 15% of students were enrolled, and 32% of our RFET group were enrolled in an AP course. At the bottom there, we see that 8% of students with disabilities were enrolled in an AP course. So now this graph will show you what you saw in the previous slide, reflected in the blue bars with an additional 2 years of back data to compare. So I'll briefly touch on a few highlights here. Over a 3-year time span, SLO High School has seen a 2 percentage point increase in student enrollment, with the SED and EL groups showing the most growth. Non-SED has maintained a 50% enrollment rate over the past 2 years. RFET dropped, but then has held steady at 32%, while our SWD group is on an upward trajectory with a 3 percentage point gain. Okay, like Morro Bay High School, this graph shows that over the past 3 years, SLO High School has also increased their enrollment in AP courses to over 1,056 students. Each year, more students are electing to take the AP test, and over 80% of those students are passing the test, which can potentially be applied towards college credit. So with that, I'm going to have Kimberly come up and draw some conclusions.
Thank you. So some things to kind of take away from this data is, first of all, let's look at a few of the highlights for Morro Bay High School. They have really made an intentional and conscious effort to increase enrollment. And keep in mind that at the school site, we look at all different levels of data down to individual student names, right, and dissect this data in many different ways. So one of the things to look at is they have increased overall enrollment and have done an incredible job at that. And you can tell that as they're increasing that enrollment, they've also been intentional about having conversations and being specific, especially with students that are economically disadvantaged, and inviting them and telling them that we see potential. We think you can handle this course. We'd love to see you give this a try. So you can see that that enrollment has increased, and it's also increasing with groups that we would want to see it increase with. Second thing to think about is that socioeconomically disadvantaged students have a really high enrollment rate, even higher than non-SED, which is interesting, which shows you that they're intentionally working, right, to pull students in and encourage them to take a rigorous challenge. Also, we just noticed when we work with principals, Mr. Mayfield and I, one of the things we also noticed is they have a really high AVID enrollment rate in their AP courses. So that also shows us that the AP program there at Morro Bay is focused on creating college-bound students and encouraging them to take challenging courses as well. At SLO High, a couple of conclusions we drew there was that there's an extremely high passage rate. So students that take the courses, just as Mrs. Caminata mentioned a minute ago, of the 694, 566 are passing. So keep in mind that there's all sorts of reasons students choose not to take AP tests. Sometimes it can be because the college they're headed to doesn't take that score, or that they need only a 5 in order to transfer a grade in. So there's all sorts of reasons kids choose not to take AP tests, but that high passage rate is something to celebrate.
Slo High has also been intentional about their socioeconomically disadvantaged students. And when we looked more specifically over five-year trend, they had improved that from 15 to 35%. So significant gains in their AP enrollment. And their AP Spanish students, that's one of the reasons we highlighted that tonight. Really some great scores to see there. As she mentioned, sophomores, as she mentioned, some EL students, and students that are really achieving high scores for a long time now. So I do think that's a tribute to bilingual programs throughout our district really going well. So in conclusion, when you think about from overall, both schools showed a strong increase in student enrollment. Both schools showed a great increase in enrollment of our socioeconomically disadvantaged students. Both schools are continuously looking for opportunities to increase these opportunities, targeting students. You would be inspired by the conversations when it happens at the site level, because they're thinking, how can we, how are we going to look at it, when should we talk to them, and really being thoughtful and intentional about it. RFEP and SED enrollment also will be the areas that will continue to get targeted and intentional focus. That was the conclusion we drew from both sites. It's an area we want to continue to grow. Happy to answer any questions.
Great. Yes. Mr. Quisenberry and then Mr. Buckman. Go ahead.
Just a question on some of the enrollments and whether classes are always discretely AP, or is it possible, let's say, for example, the calculus AB and the calculus BC, that the AP students may be embedded in that calculus class and then receive additional or enhanced instruction? Or is there a class of seven calculus BC students?
In this case, we did go ahead and make the extra financial commitment to Morabay High School and offer a class with seven students. That is, it's a great point, Mr. Quisenberry, because sometimes on small schools, it is difficult when you have seven students interested. But there have been instances where we choose to make additional opportunities available because we know it's a small school and that takes our commitment.
Likewise, in the same vein, I'm looking at the physics class here, 45. Is that a single class, or might that be two classes?
I believe that's two. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Kimberly, I have to congratulate the staff for implementing what the board has been working on for years, and that's closing the achievement gap. And I just want to explain from my perspective that SED and EL is where the largest achievement gap is, and the data here is just amazing. So again, I want to congratulate staff because this is really exciting. It's been years that we've talked about this, and now I think we're seeing the fruits of that discussion.
Great to see growth.
Mrs. Sheffer.
I'm curious about how proactive we are, or how, I don't know, Mr. Mayfield, if this is a question for you or Kimberly, but how we kind of recruit students or at least advise students of the availability of these classes, who is eligible, if there are, you know, any kind of prerequisites or anything they need ahead of time, how we get, and I see we are making strides in the in our SED classes, but how we get those kids in. I know that in the past there's actually among some students been kind of an attitude that these classes aren't for me, you must need somebody else. And how are we getting these kids into these classes, and what more might we need to do to encourage that?
Over the past couple of years, we've had the conversations with administrators at each of the sites, and like I said, we look at this data at a deep level. And so the conversations that took place, the administrators start brainstorming with counselors, with teachers within the departments, and they say, how can we identify these students that, like you're saying, may not normally think of themselves that way, or their family just hasn't been in those classes, or it's just something that doesn't cross their mind, right? So what they did was they looked at who's being successful within a previous course. So let's say before an English 11 AP course, they may look at a student's performance in English 9 and English 10. The counselor can look at that, and as they're scheduling classes, the counselor encourages that. I think the counselors have done a beautiful job of being intentional. Like I said, we go down to student names, right, and go to a very specific level. Also, the teachers within that department will
have the conversation, encouraging kids and say, you can absolutely do this. You know, you should go for it. So it's conversations at multiple levels, administrators, counselors, teachers, and being intentional about inviting students.
Okay, so we're doing intentional outreach.
Absolutely.
Great. Thank you very much.
Dr. Eisendrath Rogers.
These are impressive gains across the board, as you know, and it's very exciting to see this happen. I see so much engagement in this very important program. I'm wondering if there's any kind of financial assistance available to the SED students for covered. The tests alone are expensive, as we know. So what do we have to offer them?
Absolutely. So if you qualify for free and reduced lunch, or if you bring in a W-2 in the past that shows meeting a qualifying rate, students pay less than $10 per test, where typically it's closer in the 80-90 range if you do not qualify. So it's a significant help so that students can hopefully keep some of the financial problem out of the way from taking that.
Excellent. And just kudos to all the teachers for obviously preparing these students very well to do so well on the test. Thank you.
Chris?
Yeah, Mr. Button.
Just, and my understanding is that there's also, the state also provides, maybe it's a grant program to help fund lower socioeconomic students to take the APs. Are we taking advantage of that?
We are. We always apply. And we cross our fingers that the money actually comes.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Thanks.
One of the things that I'm excited about is to hear you say that we're actually doing outreach to our students, especially our SED students. I think you're probably aware of this notion of math misplacement, where students, especially students of color, are placed in math classes below their skill level. It's an activity that's occurred in California and many high schools and many junior high schools. It's something that we want to make sure doesn't happen here, and it sounds like the intentionality is helping to prevent that, and so I want to congratulate you on that.
Thank you.
So is there anybody from the public that would like to address us on this? This is a discussion item only. It is not an action item. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just putting out Marilyn's
light. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see you, Marilyn.
That's okay. I'm to your left.
I'm sorry. Let's go to Mrs. Roger first, and then we'll go to
okay,
the public.
Okay, I'll just be quick. I just want to confirm my understanding that we are actively seeking students that we feel might benefit from these courses as sort of like a child find, and we're using the Elder Avery model for teachers to speak one-on-one with students to encourage them, to continue to encourage them throughout the course that they are able and capable, and this is where they belong.
Beautiful understanding.
Okay, thank you.
Now we'll go to the public, and Mrs. Neuhauser.
So can we keep some of these up here?
Yeah.
Otherwise I'm going to use your... Judy Neuhauser, Los Osos. So I am very pleased to see that the first set of data was for each school was disaggregated. So you know how many SED students took the classes. You know how many non-SED students took the class in RFET. What I'm curious about is why you didn't continue. I mean, this is a question to staff. Why didn't you continue the disaggregation? We have no idea how many SED, as the public, we have no idea, and you as the board have no idea how many of those SED kids took the tests. How many of those SED kids passed the test? It seems that if we have that data already, why is that not part of the discussion? Because that's the second part of taking the class, is being able to take the test and pass the test. And what that gives you as a student is it gives you one more college class that you don't have to pay for. And for an SED student, that's a big deal. So I'd like to see that data. And if we don't have it here tonight, I'd request that it be given to all of you and that it be sent to me also. I'd like to see that for both high schools, for number of students who took it and passed it, have a total disaggregation. I have another question. I was glad to see, Jim, that you asked about the enrollment. And you asked about the calculus, but I'm also seeing French, macroeconomics, U.S. government are also very English. No, excuse me. European history are also very small numbers. Were those also actual classes? Oh, was that you, Alan Shepard? I can't remember who asked it. But how many of those were actual classes that were taken? And I'd like to either have that answer tonight, or I would like to have it sent to the board and also to myself by an email, if that would be possible. Okay? I would also say that on your final slide, can you scroll to that one? Yeah, one more. There we go. I would also say on that one that under the conclusions of the where you're talking about the necessity of looking at the pass rates, I'd like to also know to look at one of the things to think about is how do you increase the pass rate at Morabay High School. San Luis High School was pretty high. It was in the 80s. And Morabay pass level rate was about in the 50s, although the percentage of students that took the test in each school was about 66%. So I think that's another thing that should be looked at.
Thank you, Mrs. Neuhauser.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's move on to item number 9.07, approve proposed revisions to Board Policy 5125, Student Records. This would be a first reading.
Thank you. Board Policy 5125. So this policy, we did receive suggestions from CSBA, and your subcommittee of Mark Buckman and Ellen Sheffer looked through this as well as the related directors, and this was in your Friday notes. You can see that there are some changes suggested at the top from the committee as well as the red that suggests the information from CSBA. Also, there was an addition there of a student age 18 or over's consent, you can see. And the remaining information is the red information from Gamut. This is the first reading tonight, so up to you if you would like to bring it for a second reading or approve this policy this evening.
Okay. Questions from the board? Jim, it looks like you have a question. And Mrs. Roger?
I'll yield to Mrs. Roger. She may have a better question.
Well, I'm just wondering, I see that the board subcommittee modified this to include challenge, that to ensure parental rights to review, inspect, copy, and challenge student records. And I wondered what you were contemplating when you wanted to make that change.
Go ahead, Mr. Buckman.
Mr. Buckman, do you want to respond?
Yeah, I think the thinking of the committee was that within the actions that parents can take, and we've listed several of those, one of the actions that a parent can take on student records is to challenge an entry in the student records. So if somebody were to say the student thought the sky was blue and that's incorrect, and therefore it got put in the file, a parent can say, whoa, my student has the right to disagree. So the parent has a right to put something in there that's a challenge to it. And so I think the board committee felt was appropriate to let parents know about that as well.
So most commonly that would probably be a challenge to a disciplinary action.
Yeah, it probably would be.
Okay, thank you.
Great. Okay. Is there anybody from the public that would like to address us on this? Okay. This is a first reading. Is there any interest in moving it forward or my recommendation, because of the number of changes that we're proposing, that we bring it back for a second reading.
Yes.
Is everybody okay with that, Catherine?
Yeah,
so we'll bring this back for a second reading. Let's go on to 9.08. Approve proposed revisions to Board Policy 5141.4, Students, Child Abuse Prevention and Reporting. And again, this is a first reading.
Thank you. Yes, you will see many suggestions in red from GAMET around child abuse. It changed prevention and reporting instead of the procedures. Procedures would be outlined more closely in the AR. You will find the subcommittee did look through this and agreed with the information found from CSBA. Again, first reading, so up to you.
All right. Mrs. Roger.
Yeah, I on the face of this, I don't have any problem with it, but there has been some question in the past, and I think it was resolved, but I don't recall what the resolution was as to whether or not board members were mandated reporters. Could you get that information? Dr. Prater.
I have requested that from legal counsel, Lozano Smith, and it's my understanding that board members are not mandated reporters and are not required to take the training and so forth.
Okay,
but
great.
That probably is still a good practice to remain alert and aware of.
Okay. I just wanted clarification because I couldn't remember exactly where that ultimately landed. Thank you.
Anybody else? Is there anybody from the public that would like to talk to us about this? Okay. Consensus for a second reading or a first reading on this one and a passage? Come back for a second? Okay. Everybody good with that? Okay. So we'll bring this back for a second reading as well. Let me get down here. Okay. Proposed revisions to Board Policy 5146, Married, Pregnant, and Parenting Students. This is a first reading.
Thank you. It was a suggestion also you will see in red from CSBA to add information about reasonable accommodations that should be provided for any lactating student. So you can see the information provided there. And, of course, your subcommittee is always looking for ways to accommodate students that need something. So they agreed with CSBA's recommended addition.
Okay. Is there anybody from the public that would like to address us on this item? Right. Is there also a consensus for a second reading on this?
Yes.
Okay. Everybody good with that? So we'll bring this back for a second reading as well. We'll go now to Board Policy 6153, School-Sponsored Trips. Again, a first reading. Mrs. McGrath.
Thank you. Again, you'll find in red information from CSBA. It was looking to add information about the board being able to approve the use of district funds for student expenses. And as you know, this has been a practice in the past. That's what some of the kids come up here to say thank you for, is that you've helped support them in in-state and even out-of-state and even out-of-country when applicable type of field trips. So that information was added. You can see the information from the subcommittee that kind of loosened the definition a little from curriculum required to curriculum related, and some of the super specific information was moved to ARs.
Okay. Again, this is a first reading. Anybody from the public? All right. Bring it back for a second reading. Oh, Mrs. Neuhauser?
Oh, and I had a comment as well.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go, Mrs. Neuhauser, why don't you go ahead and then the board will make its comments.
So I'm just going to talk equity here again. I've been at two different schools. One had a very wealthy PTA, one had a very constrained PTA. They were both Title I schools, interesting. One is Pacheco and one was Monarch Grove. So the issue is this. I would really like to see some talk among the board at some point about how do you provide for opportunities? How do you deal with that opportunity gap that poor children have? And it's not just EL kids, it's poor children within the district. We have a lot of poor kids. Because those field trips are absolutely critical. As we heard tonight, some of the kids, actually I was another workshop, there are kids from some places that don't get to go to the ocean, even though they live in this county. I mean, that's amazing to me, but it's true. So I would like to see some sort of talk about, instead of just giving it to the sites you're responsible for it, and PTAs may help fund it, because there's a real difference in the PTAs. I'd like you to take a look at the PTA budgets for all of your schools and look at this the discrepancy between them, because that tells you what kind of field trips they have, what kind of programs that they have coming to their schools to do assemblies. And especially as the coast schools have lost an entire cohort of children, all the sixth grade, they have a smaller number of parents to be able to pull from. But for assemblies, they don't ask whether you have 250 students or 550 students. The assembly cost is the same. And so as we shrunk those schools by taking the sixth grade out, we shrunk the funds that they also have, because that's part of the PTA. And as we know also, the TEACH program has also pulled funding away from the schools. And so how does the school district intend to help serve with equity those children that don't have the opportunities? How do they intend to help fill that opportunity gap? Thank you.
Thank you. Mrs. Roger.
Well, the comment that I intended to make was to specifically note that in the board policy it says no student shall be prevented from making a curriculum-related field trip because of insufficient funds. No such field trip may be authorized if any student will be excluded from participation because of a lack of sufficient funds.
Okay.
And I actually wanted to to state my strong support for that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bring it back for a second reading?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll bring this back for a second reading. And 9.11, Measure D, San Luis Obispo High School, Old Gym Modernization, Lease-Leaseback, Termination of Leases with Acme Construction.
So this is part two of the terminating of the lease for the Old Gym project at San Luis Obispo High School. The third will be, again, the notice of completion of the consent agenda tonight. So this is basically just to cease the lease itself and for us to take back the property, the Old Gym itself, for student use.
Okay. Is there anybody from the public that would like to address us on this? Seeing none, this is an action item, so would someone like to make a motion?
I'll move approval of item 9.11, SLO High School Old Gym Modernization Lease-Leaseback, Termination of Leases with Acme Construction.
Okay, and I think Mr. Buckman will second that.
Yes, and just a quick, maybe just for everybody that may end up watching this, just really briefly, it sounds like we sold the school to somebody and then we bought it back. So just a real quick, what's a lease?
Real quick.
Okay, all right.
No, I can do it real quick. So basically, it's a construction delivery model, where you lease the site to the contractor during the construction, and then when the construction's over, you end the lease. So that's just how you pay the contractor kind of lease payments, which is partially the construction cost throughout that time where the construction's happening.
Okay. So we have a motion by Mrs. Roger, a second by Mr. Buckman. Is there any further board discussion? Seeing none, I'll bring it back. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 6-0. 9.12, Measure D, Amendment Number 3 to the Lease-Leaseback Contract with Acme Construction for Morro Bay High School Student Services Building. Mr. Pinkerton.
So the next two items are the Morro Bay Student Services Building. We started, the board approved the first initial GMP, which was to do all the underground work. For the student services building, which is basically, you know, the new front of campus. We talk about safety, security, fencing. That's going to be kind of, you know, the student access point throughout the day once school starts, which is going to really help in terms of that campus and its safety and security. So with that, we started with that initial GMP. Acme got builder's risk insurance for the project through that time. Since then, we have come to find out that we can actually take the builder's risk insurance ourselves. So thanks to Kelly Lee and the in the facilities department looking into that through CISC, and it's much, much cheaper. So in this case, what I'm asking the board to do is we're going to hopefully get the board to approve an amendment to our first lease, which is basically getting rid of the we're taking away the builder's risk cost to Acme Construction, taking it on ourselves to provide insurance. Now, in this case, because we did that initial work first, there were some upfront costs. So there was some insurance cost that Acme had to pay and they can't get back from the insurance carrier. But there is a pretty substantial savings, basically about $25,000 that we will realize by doing this, and that will then coincide with the next agenda item, where it currently has an insurance cost that will then be taken away should the board approve this Amendment 3.
Mrs. Roger.
So, Mr. Pinkerton, I think what you're telling me is that this item, Amendment 3, is the thing that we always hope to see. It's, in essence, a deductive change order
yes.
to the contract.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
I wish we saw more of them.
Which is also known as cost savings. Thank
yes.
you.
Would you like to make a... I'm sorry, is there anybody else? Mrs.
Yes.
Shuffer.
And it's are we able to... Now that Kelly Lee has discovered
uh-huh.
this,
yep.
Is this something that we will look at ongoing?
So all new projects, we will be taking over the builder's risk. We won't have to have these amendments because it'll just be, actually, I take that back. We will still have to have the amendments because we've already approved the lease-leaseback agreements.
Well, I think having those amendments is just great because we'll get to know each time
you
what
will.
We're saving.
And the positive thing, though, is we will set this up prior to them actually
yes.
getting insurance, right? So we'll get the full savings okay. with any project that hasn't begun to date.
Great. Thank you very much. And please extend our thanks to Kelly Lee for her great eye in helping us determine this. Thanks.
We need a motion.
I'll move approval of Amendment Number 3 to the facilities lease by and between San Luis Coastal and the developer, which in this case would be Acme Construction Company.
I'll second.
So we have a motion by Mrs. Rogers, second by Mrs. Shuffer. Is there any further board discussion? Is there anybody from the public that would like to address us? Bring it back for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 6-0. 9.13 Measure D Amendment Number 4 to the lease-leaseback contract with Acme Construction for Morro Bay High School Student Services Building.
So we wanted to start off by getting most of the dirt work, construction dirtiness to happen during the summer when no kids are around, which would stop a lot of the concerns that people have regarding construction projects and with Valley Fever and all those types of things, right? So that was the focus of getting that done right away. In the meantime, we've gone back out. They bid that project. The bid came in very high. So this bid for this building, for the student services building, is high. Going into it, I would say, when we talked about, this is the entry focal point of Morro Bay High School, this building is. And so they spruced it up. They made it nice. It's got a nice curved roof. It's metal. It's fantastic, beautiful building. We have begun to do a few things to kind of cut those costs, looking at stucco on the outside instead of panels. And some of those ideas have contributed to some cost savings. We're at a point now where we're still continuing that discussion, even though I'm asking the board to vote for a GMP tonight. And the reason is they're ready to start the foundation work, kind of bringing that out of the ground. And much of the things we're talking about potentially changing are things that can still happen, right, even if the board were to approve the GMP tonight. So in talking with Mr. Bonin and talking with Mr. Holcomb, it was, should we move forward with this now so that we don't slow down progress of the building? Because, again, this building then provides the phasing for us to move all the offices, attendance, activities, everybody else out of that building and then start on the classroom wings. So it's all going to be a phasing item. So anything that slows that progress down basically slows down the rest of the phasing that's happening there. There's a whole list of items that both Mr. Holcomb, KBZ, Acme, and actually kind of another consultant architect are looking at for us in terms of things that we can do to try to, bring things down without taking away the integrity of the building, right? So we don't want to have to go back to DSA or cause substantial time lapses, which will just cause the price to go up. But there are things that we can do to try to limit those costs. And so I have Mr. Bonin here who can talk about some of those if needed with the board, or Mr. Holcomb as well.
Okay. Is there anybody from the public that would like to address us? Seeing no one, Mrs. Roger.
Thank you. So, Mr. Frankton, what this is telling me, will you confirm my understanding, is that we are going to be agreeing to a guaranteed maximum price for the Student Services Building, and under that agreement, work will be going forward on grading and foundations while we continue to value engineer the building proper.
Yes.
In essence, that's what you're saying.
Yes.
So that we feel reasonably certain that if we put in the foundations now, that the configuration and layout of the building itself, the building shell, will not change in dimensions.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Other questions? Would someone make a motion on this, please? Okay. I'll move approval of item 9.13.
I'll second.
We have a motion by myself and a second by Mr. Quesenberry. Is there any further board discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Item 9.14, Measure D, Amendment Number 3 to the lease-leaseback contract with Acme Construction for Morro Bay High School J Building.
So this is one of our initial conversations with the J Building and with the staff and the site. You know, we went through and did our planning phases. So for really a year and a half, worked with teachers, worked with the site, took trips, visited, and we had for the J Wing, which is kind of the back portion behind the pool area, which was always going to be kind of our STEAM center, right? Science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. And so part of that was ceramics, art, digital media, and then we had kind of a robotics and computer repair technology class. So good or bad, we ended up taking the school site staff to the Engineering Academy in Santa Barbara. So this was kind of, you know, they looked at it a little bit, but really kind of that site and the staff kind of fell in love with that program that's there. And so it's one of those things where it's kind of like, okay, are we going to go there? Are we going to do this? Super hands-on, fantastic program. But in order to do that, we had to adjust, both with staff that's on campus as well as with the layout of the program. So this change order that we have in front of the board tonight for the J-Wing is basically to do a massive upgrade to the infrastructure, so that which is the electrical, technology, plumbing, so all those things that the new engineering classes can go into the basically what was the computer technology class, as well as the potential robotics classroom. Chris Bonnet's here. He can talk about kind of what those machines are if the board's interested, kind of what goes into that. And then we actually took the digital media class, which is a big part of the cost, and we turned that into two classrooms. We added another wall, so they basically got a whole other classroom space with a computer lab that can do both computer, so the kids can create in the computer lab, then they go over, they actually build it themselves, and then they test it in the room next to it. So the engineering program in Santa Barbara is probably like a U.S. renowned kind of program where everybody goes to see our new teacher there. So we actually have a teacher at Morro Bay that's actually leaving and taking over some classes at Laguna Middle School for a teacher that retired. And we have a new science teacher that's more adept at kind of that engineering phase and building that program. And again, Chris has a lot of hands-on experience with the machinery and has been working closely with him on kind of the layout of that facility. So there's a lot of cost associated with doing those upgrades to kind of bring it to that level.
Okay. Anybody from the public? Seeing no one, Mrs. Roger, then Mrs. Sheffer, then Dr. Eisendrath Rogers, Mr. Quisenberry, and Mr. Buckman.
Come on up, Mr. Bonin.
So
help me out. And Mr. Holcomb.
To paraphrase, I guess, am I understanding correctly when I look at this that what we're doing is we're upsizing the electrical capabilities for the classroom needs, and we're making some interior relatively minor interior modifications to accommodate the classroom needs.
probably major more than minor, but yes, we are making some accommodations to ensure that that program can function in those spaces.
We're
so
putting
it's
in
it's
a demising wall
in those buildings.
A demising wall.
Yep.
And what else are we doing in terms of interior modifications?
36 stations. So again, electrical technology, new wiring, new cabling, increased electrical output is required for those classrooms. So the program itself has a hands-on component for students, where they have each student has what's the equipment?
Itself? We're increasing the electrical capacity, is what we're doing, correct?
Increasing capacity. What comes in these rooms is mills, lathes, CNC machines, laser cutters, drill presses, table saw. What comes with that is all the power plus dust collection systems, air systems.
Dedicated circuits?
Lots of dedicated circuits. So with the lighting, power supplies, you know, outlets for the machinery, plus outlets just for them to work on tables, it's pretty extensive. I'm lucky to be involved in it because if I was in school at this time, I'd be so excited to get into that class. So I'm excited to get to work with the equipment to help the teacher get up to speed because I'm familiar with a lot of the equipment. So it has a little vested in my heart.
Okay, super. Thank you very much.
Catherine, Ellen.
I just wanted to make sure Mr. Bonner got a chance to talk to us, but as long as you're talking, what are you most excited about? Which is the aspect of this project?
Well, I'm a computer type of guy anyway, so the CNC machines and the CAD program, because everything talks to the new equipment from the laser cutters, the CNC machine, to the plasma cutter. So the equipment they can make is just pretty impressive, you know. But teacher has quite the job ahead of them. But I think it'll be great when they get it dialed in.
Okay. So I guess
whatever my name is.
We'll go Jim. Okay. And then I don't know who, either Ellen or Mark.
Well, Mr. Bonner, thank you. You've kind of answered a question I have, but I just want to make it clear to the public. And I had a long discussion with a gentleman about this because, you know, one of the things that's been kind of prominent in the news is the lack of people that have machinist skills, welding skills, fabrication skills, and whatnot. So, you know, I was a little bit, I was unable to really, you know, say, well, how is this different from the old industrial arts approach we used to have for, you know, we had metalwork, we had carpentry, we had, and I was just saying that perhaps the makerspace is, you know, a combination, could be a combination of those things. So could you elaborate on that a little bit? And his concern was he had actually heard it, you know, that they were influenced by engineering, and he was thinking of it more in engineering in the abstract. So
it's a very much an engineering basis class classroom. You figure they design the parts on the CAD computers, they send it to the laser cutter or the CNC machine, make all the parts, then they assemble it. So, for example, making a drone, they make the arms, they make the gears, plates or anything for it to mount. So it's a multi-step process. And then with the leftover metals, they can send the metal to the art room and have them make items out of the leftover metal pieces. So
very much hands-on than conceptual is what I would say. And so Mr. Bond actually got to go to the Santa Barbara Engineering and see this firsthand. So everything from the green room, and again, it ties into the digital media as well. So they have a green room, that computer space. So all those, that whole wing is going to all kind of talk to each other.
It's not just talking about physics, you know. There's physics, there's chemistry, there's art, there's all kinds of stuff that ties together in this whole complex, which is just awesome. You know, it's just getting all the teachers to work together and integrate their programs because they can use pieces, leftover pieces, design something for the next class. It'll be great.
I guess Ellen and Mark, right? Mm-hmm. Mark and Ellen.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm fine. I'm wondering, and maybe it's in another part of the school, but it seems to me the more I talk to folks in town that 3D printing is becoming, is this within that area?
Yeah, there's a 3D printer in there also.
Okay.
Yes.
And I'm not sure this is, it may be the elephant in the room, but How is this a whole lot more expensive than what we were planning? Is it less expensive? Is it equal?
Well, it's about $400,000 in terms of the building itself, infrastructure, right?
Thanks.
So out of that, for sure, right? So, this is an investment. But I will tell you that once this is in place, you can pretty much do anything in those rooms and classrooms in terms of equipment and machinery. And the discussion that came out of this, just so you know, basically TOMA, in terms of bringing electricity to this program, kind of looked at a whole new frame of reference for the entire campus, which I think in the long run with our design build for the rest of campus is actually going to save us some money. So they're going to actually run power from the street into the J-Wing onto that whole side of campus to the Student Support Center, which means we don't have to revamp the current system that's kind of in the middle of campus. So there were some positive things that kind of came out of this discussion as well. But right now, the besides this, we already have the in the budget that the board has seen, we already have the equipment budget there, which I will say we are paring down. So based on kind of these conversations about what you really need and how many and what are you going to use, and so it's that's been the kind of conversation between Chris and Brady in terms of, hey, let's make sure that we get the things you're going to need, right? But the teacher also has to learn, so he's going to need some of that new equipment just to learn on it, even if the kids aren't using it yet, right? So there's that tie-in. But you don't want to necessarily buy things that the warranty is going to run out before you start using it. So there's the balance. And again, it's been a very good discussion between Chris, Brady, Halverson, who's a teacher there, as well as Kyle Pruitt. So I think it's been a positive dialogue.
It's my understanding that there are grants in the work attempt to defray some of these mm-hmm. costs. Could you address that a little bit, please, Ryan?
Yes, we have several... We have about four, so we've already been awarded 3 CTE grants currently. We have another, I believe, 5 or 6 that are moving forward here in October. With our new consultant, actually it broke down every single one of our CTE grants that didn't make the cut in terms of score and has highlighted the specific areas that we need to improve on. So Liz Moore currently, who's our CTE TOSA, is out working with all those individuals, getting more letters from industry and improving those. So we feel, and again, even the ones that didn't make it, we barely didn't pass on those other ones. So we're really hopeful that, hey, we'll get 4 to 6 of those. And one of those projects is this STEAM complex and
so
this program.
Our net cost could be, even though we may have to pay the money because we may need to make the purchases to fulfill the mm-hmm. to fulfill the contract, but we may receive some money back as a result of those grants.
For the construction as well as the equipment.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and just one final thing. Should I assume that while we're sort of scaling back the number of machines that we're purchasing at this time, we are creating the power infrastructure to add more machines later as they become necessary?
Yes.
Terrific. Thank you.
So this is an action item. Would someone like to make a motion, please?
Yeah, I'll move approval.
Okay.
Let me get back to where I am here. We are calling this item 9.14, amendment number 3 to the LLB contract with Acme Construction for Morrowbie High School J building.
I'll second, please.
We have a motion by Mrs. Roger and a second by Mr. Buckman. Is there any further discussion? Anybody from the public? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Item 9.15, claim against the district, Bennett Kelting.
So, yeah, we had a claim against the district for a student accident that occurred at Los Osos Middle School. Asking the board to deny that claim at this time, and basically, just so the board knows, all that does is just put in the motion of our insurance carrier meeting with the family and the student to hopefully come to some type of mediation settlement process through discussing it with the student. So if the board approves the denial tonight, we will get that started tomorrow.
Great. Is there anybody from the public that would like to address this? Seeing no one, I'll bring it back to the board. Would someone like to make a motion to deny the claim of the against the district so that it can move to our insurance carrier?
I'd like to move that we deny the claim against the district on the Bennett Kelting suit.
Okay, so we have a motion.
I'll
Second, a motion by Mr. Buckman, a second by Mr. Quisenberry. Any other comments? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Moving on to our action consent agenda. Let me know if you want anything pulled. 10.01, approval of certificated and classified personnel items. 10.02, approval of furniture and equipment requests. 10.03, disposal of surplus property. 10.04, approve quarterly report on uniform complaint filings, the Williams settlement. And 10.05, measure D, approve notice of completions. So would someone like to make a motion for 10.01, 10.03 through 10.05?
Yes, I move approval of 10.01, 3, 4, and 5.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second? We have a motion by Mr. Quisenberry, a second by Mrs. Sheffer. Anybody from the public to comment? Seeing no one, I'll bring it back to the board. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Mr. Buckman, 10.02.
Yeah. Just quickly, when I asked about the 10.02, let me just pull it up. I noticed that there was a bunch of stuff that looked like it was for the food service program. Mm-hmm. And as you know, CTE is really near and dear, and I was really happy to find out that this is all going to go into a CTE program. In I don't know, Ryan, my rough.
Mm-hmm. It's the culinary classroom at San Luis Obispo High School, yeah. And so the great part, too, is with the new construction of 100 building, this program will have a brand new space right next to the kitchen.
Oh, wow.
In the new 100 building, which is where the two programs can mix. So, Aaron Primer has already been in contact with the culinary arts teacher at San Luis Obispo High School, and as you know, Aaron, it will it will be dynamic, of course.
Thank you. I move approval of item 10.02.
And I'll second that. Is there any further discussion on that? I'll bring it back to the board. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Do we have any requests for advanced agenda items? Mr. Quisenberry.
This may be better for our Friday notice or Friday information. I know we have seen it, but could we get some additional information on the supports that we are giving the sixth grade classes at Los Osos Middle School?
I will happily provide that to you in this Friday's weekly notes.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes.
And I would appreciate it if we could make that an informational item at one of the next board meetings. I think it's important for the public to understand and hear that we are providing additional supports at Los Osos Middle School for our sixth grade classes.
I will gladly do that.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who has anything they wish to add to advanced agenda? Okay.
Just on that topic, Mr. Unger, I will tell you that Los Osos Middle School has the smallest class size out of any of our secondary schools. So knowing that it's a small school, they do receive extra staffing, which is, of course, very expensive on the personnel standpoint.
Great. Yeah. And so, again, I think it's important. I think since there has been continuing questions about that, I think it's important for us to discuss it and to hear what those additional supports are, because I am aware that they're out there. Okay, reports by board members. I'm sure we've got a lot to talk about. So we'll start with Ellen, go on to Jim, then Catherine.
I'll be brief because I know so lots of people went to back-to-school night, so it's a wonderful event. But I wanted to state that this past Friday night, I attended an event at the Cuesta CPAC for KC. It was a fundraiser for KCBX, and NPR reporters David Green and Kelly McEvers spoke, and Ryan Mamarella from Morro Bay High School and Scott Nairn at San Luis Obispo High School gathered together journalism students who not only were able to attend the event with the group, but also had the opportunity to attend a reception beforehand, a small, intimate gathering of people, and speak with these reporters. There was a question and answer session at the event, and a San Luis High student got up and asked an intriguing question that David Green said was one of the best questions he'd been asked, and he was going to save it to use for his interviews in the future. So I just wanted to give kudos to our two high school journalism teachers for making that, taking advantage of that interesting opportunity in our little town to provide our students to meet with and participate in an event with nationally known reporters. So, thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Quisenberry.
Great. I just want to mention that I went to some back-to-school nights, Baywood, Monarch Grove, and Morro Bay High School. As usual, it's great. It's great to see the enthusiasm of parents and their participation in back-to-school nights. Also kind of a point of the privilege and getting on the bully pulpit here. This Sunday is Grandparents' Day, and every Grandparents' Day, Rotary Los Osos sponsors our Family Fun Fair at the South Bay Community Center, and it's a lot of fun activities, low cost or almost no cost for most of the folks. There'll be a petting zoo and reptiles and bounce houses and games, as well as entertainment inside and outside of the community center. All are welcome, and I hope I see some of my fellow board members there. And with their grandchildren, if they wish. Thank you very much.
Dr. Heisendrath Rogers.
I, too, enjoyed the back-to-school night at Morro Bay High School. It's amazing, in the first place, just to have a high school on a beach, you know, in your school district. And to be there at the golden hour, you know, when it's so gorgeous anyway. The only small drawback, of course, is that there are still some little fledgling seagulls that haven't learned to fly yet, and so they're kind of hanging out for a while. So I just want to report that apparently the time is about to come when the falconer can come back, and maybe things will change in that direction. But it's always a joy to be at Morro Bay High School.
Anybody else? So there's a couple things I just wanted to share. I did attend a National School Board Association conference back in August, and I think it's the reason I'm mentioning this is because there is so much work on equity that's going on in this country right now, and I know there's work that we have to continue to do, but when I hear the things that our district is doing, I'm so proud of our district. I'm so proud of the Common Ground Task Force. I'm so proud of the Student Senate. I'm so proud of our initiatives toward preschool. It makes me glow with pride when I hear those things, and knowing that we recognize there's additional work we have to do. Something I want to make sure that everybody, hopefully people who are listening to this, hopefully we're getting the word out to our schools, to our parents at our school sites, that please apply for our lunch program. Any student who would receive in the past a reduced lunch cost will now be given breakfast and lunch for free. This is very important to our schools, and it's very important to your students. So I would just ask that all parents please, please, please apply for that. I, too, went to several of the open houses, and I wanted to specifically talk about Los Osos Middle Schools, and we were talking about CTE, and Los Osos Middle School has a makerspace there. During the presentation to the parents, Mr. Wilcox spoke to the makerspace and how it's being opened up to the public. And so we want to invite the public to participate in that makerspace and really make sure they have an opportunity to do that, know that it's out there for that. I had an opportunity to visit Del Mar, and I spent about 2 hours there with Mrs. Gould, visiting classrooms, talking to teachers. And one of the things I just like to share with everybody is what one of the things Del Mar is doing. They're doing actually a whole school calming project, where several times during the day after lunch, when things get particularly crazy in classrooms, the teachers are having the students take a break and really calm themselves down, calm their minds down. And it's a very exciting program that they're doing, and I would invite everybody to take a look at it and see what they're doing at Morro Bay. That's all I have. Before we leave, I would ask the board members to stay. We do need to sign the expulsion papers, so please make sure we do that. Otherwise, this meeting is adjourned.